before you today, seeking to know you, seeking to be reminded of how much you love us and how good you are to us. God, we come to you today hoping that you will grow us in you and you will change us. Lord, we also come to you today as we finish one year and begin a brand new year. And many of us, we come into this room carrying all sorts of frustrations and hurts. God, I pray for the families in our church that just over the last month have lost loved ones. But I pray for those who have loved ones and family members and friends in the hospital even right now. God, I pray for those who during the holidays have experienced the tension within families and just the frustration that comes from just being part of this broken world. God, I pray this morning that you would meet each of us today, that you would give us hope for this year, that you would give us a clear vision of what it looks like to know you and to walk with you. God, I pray that this would be just an incredible year for each of us. Lord, this morning I pray for our church. I pray that we can continue to be a church that pushes the envelope in what it looks like to care for those outside of us, to look for ways to serve our community and to serve the world. I pray for Billy and Patty this morning as they are right now on a plane leaving for a month in Russia. I pray that you would use them just in wonderful ways to encourage churches, to train believers, to further your work there. God, this morning I also pray for Nan, who's sitting here as she leaves on Tuesday to go to Baylor, to go to a brand new state, a brand new school. God, so many of us have gotten to know her and see her love for you. I pray that you would just guard her as she goes, that you would continue to grow her and make clear to her what you have for her life. In all of this, Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified, that we can love you even a little bit back for the incredible love you've shown us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. Glad you guys are here. You know, as we start this brand new year, by the way, Nan is right here. Make sure you say bye to her when the service is over. She's the one who's headed to Baylor. But as we start this new year, most of us are considering what it looks like to have this relationship with God. We're thinking through maybe this past year and what it looked like for us to know Him and to walk with Him, and maybe what's going to be different this next year. This is a time where many of us will come up with different resolutions, and today I want to use that in a sense to kind of help us think about where God might be leading us as individuals and as a church. You know, if you're here today, it's because one or two reasons, right? Either you have put your faith in Jesus, you have a relationship with the living God, you know how awesome it is to walk with Him, and you want that to just increase in your life, or maybe you're seeking Him. Maybe you sense that He's pursuing you. You kind of get this idea that He is there and He's connecting with you, and you're not really sure what it means yet, but you're taking the first step to discover. And so today, I want us to start us on a bit of a journey to think about what does it look like to connect with God, especially through prayer. It's interesting, as I've spent time with people, one of the sentences I've heard, maybe more than any other, whether when I was working with teenagers or with adults, over and over again, and as I'm talking to people about their relationship with God, I can almost set my watch to people saying this sometimes. Over and over again, I hear this phrase come out of people's mouth. They say, I'm just not really good at praying. You ever said that? Or you ever heard someone say that? I'm just not really good at praying. And there's a whole lot of reasons why people say that. There's fear, there's timidness, there's uncertainty or insecurity, whatever it might be. But part of why we say that, part of why so many of us would say that is because prayer is kind of a confusing thing. Prayer can be a bit of a paradox. I mean, think about it. Prayer is often talked about as being something as simple as speaking. Yet we're speaking to the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things in His hand, the one who is more incredible than anything we can ever imagine. There's kind of a disconnect there. You think about the way we pray. You can pray a beautiful prayer with all the right words but have the wrong heart, can't you? And maybe everyone's like, amen, wow, that person's really spiritual, but we don't know what's really going on inside. But the flip side of that is you can be stumbling over every word you say kind of like me up here sometimes, right? Like just not able to get a word out, but God sees the heart. He sees that it's the right heart. And to God, that's an incredibly beautiful thing, even though all the words are wrong. Prayer can be confusing. People have different perspectives on how you pray or what you should pray for or what you shouldn't pray for. I mean, if we're honest, we're speaking to a God who knows all things. We're not giving God new information. So even that can be a little bit confusing when we think about prayer. So prayer can be confusing. It can be intimidating. To some of us, it can be overwhelming. And quite honestly, all those things are magnified by 100 when you try to talk about prayer. Now, I'm preaching on prayer, realizing that I'm up here as a pilgrim, not a professor. Now, as I read over the last few months about prayer, and we all have those go-to voices that we read or we listen to that have said some incredible things or bring clarity. Some of the smartest people of the last century, they say things like this about prayer. Yeah, I don't write about prayer because I don't feel qualified. Some of those godly voices that I go to, they say that kind of thing all the time. Like, I just don't really want to touch that because I'd be afraid that I would say the wrong thing. So I really want you to understand, over these next few weeks as we talk about prayer, this is not me trying to act like I got it all figured out. In fact, I know a lot of you in this room have been praying a lot longer than maybe I've even been a believer in Jesus. So with that said, as much as I want to share some of what I've learned and some of what the scripture says about prayer, I actually want to invite you to join the conversation a little bit over these next few weeks. You'll see on the back wall, there's an email address for the office here, which, by the way, that's a terrible font. I used a different one, but it didn't transfer to the computer, so my apologies, right? First service was a little bit more awake than you guys. So that said, some of you guys here, you have a habit of prayer. You have a method of prayer. You have some really great perspective on prayer. You've taught people to pray. I want to ask you to share with me a little bit. Maybe if you'd be willing to write me your method or your perspective or how you pray, and maybe some of you want to come and help me share some of this. Maybe I can just share it for you. I really want to ask for some input on this. So that said, write down this email. Be willing, if you've got some things to say to share, I would love to share that with the rest of the church. But all that said, let's start with this baseline. As we talk about prayer the next few weeks, we're really talking about how prayer is meant to be a conversation. This is not earth-shattering. Most of us are aware of that. Prayer is meant to be a conversation. Now, we're familiar with conversation. We have conversation with friends, with family members, with our spouses, our kids. We have conversations all the time. Sometimes we have conversations we're not expecting. I get wrong phone calls all the time. My phone number is one digit off from one of the hotels in Seattle, right? So all the time I'm getting my phone's ringing, and it's a number I don't know, and so I answer the phone, hello, and they say, hello, is this the Clarion? And what I've been doing lately is saying, no, this is Jake from Allstate, right? And the people that get the joke, they say, Jake, what are you wearing? And that's when I hang up because it gets kind of creepy. But we get all the sorts of conversations. We're used to people being in our life, speaking into our life, talking to them. And prayer is not meant to be different than that. Prayer is meant to be very similar. Now, there's some uniqueness to it, but prayer, the baseline of prayer really is God inviting us into a conversation with Him. He wants to talk to us, but as you saw in the title this morning, prayer isn't something that's initiated by us. When we speak to God, we speak second. Prayer begins with God speaking to us. You know, God has spoken to us. The Bible talks about this, about how God has revealed Himself to us. When we pray, it's not us saying, I'm going to pray. I'm going to engage God. All of a sudden, I've got this idea that I'm going to share with God. Our prayer is meant to be a response to what God has already said to us. In fact, God has spoken. He's spoken to every person who has ever lived on this earth. It's what the Bible teaches. He's spoken to every person, first of all, into the heart of every person. The teacher in Ecclesiastes, he talks about this. He says that God has put eternity into man's heart. He says God has put this desire for the eternal one. He has put this knowledge, this longing, this desire in every single heart of every single human ever. Now, we can be really good at ignoring it and suppressing it and hiding it and acting like it's not there. But God said, this is something I've done for every person. I put eternity in your heart, this desire. He hasn't just put it in our heart internally, but God has spoken to us, every person through creation. Psalms 19:1 talks about this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. God has told us, I'm showing you who I am. I mean, in the Northwest, we know this better than most. We have the ocean, we have the mountains, we have the trees. You look out, you walk outside your house in the morning, you look out, and creation is proclaiming that there is a creator. There's one who made everything. He's the author of life. God has spoken to us. He's spoken to us individually, but also to everyone at all times in even more specific ways also. God is actually, he has revealed himself to you personally. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, at least, he is showing you who he is through first of all, his word. If you were to turn to the book of Hebrews in the first chapter, the author of Hebrews begins by giving this recap. And he says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He's saying that God has started the conversation, and he started it by speaking to the prophets. What the author of Hebrews is saying is he's saying this entire Old Testament, many times, in many ways, God chose to reveal himself to us. He chose to reveal it through the prophets by inspiring them to write his word, by revealing who he is so we can catch a glimpse of him. You see it throughout all of the scripture. You turn to the first two chapters of the Bible, you have God explaining who he is as creator. He says, I made all things. I made them good. I made mankind in my image. This is God saying, I want you to understand who I am and what I've done. This past summer, we walked through the book of Exodus, and even in that story, over and over again, if you were with us, we came back to the truth that God was trying to show his people who he is. You remember when we talked about the Ten Commandments, how each of those commandments, God is really revealing, look at who I am here. The first commandment, have no other gods. He's saying, I am separate completely. There is none like me. The second commandment, he talks about having no carved images. What he's really saying there is he's saying, there's nothing in creation that you can make look like me. I am so beyond anything in creation. The third commandment, and not using his name in vain, we talked about how he's saying, when you pray to me, you can't say my name in vain. You can't use my name to manipulate me or to twist my arm behind my back, because I am the authority, not you. And those are just the first three. You look at the latter half. He says, don't murder. Why? Who's the author of life? Don't commit adultery. Why? Because God is faithful and he's pure and his people are supposed to reflect that. Don't even lie. Why? Because God is truth. See, in the scripture over and over again, God is revealing, this is who I am. That same series we talked about, things like the tabernacle, where God set up his camp in the center of all of Israel. Remember what he was saying about himself there? So now, I'm the king. The king is the one in the center of camp. And remember how he had the holy place and then the holy of place? Again, God revealing something about himself. He's saying, I am so separate, and I am so holy, and I am so perfect. God over and over, he's saying, look at me. I want to show you who I am. I want you to know me. God has spoke. The author of Hebrews continues though. Verse 2, he says, verse 1, he says, God spoke in many times and many ways through his prophets. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. See, not only has God spoken to us specifically through his scripture, he's spoken to us by Jesus Christ, his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me give you a little synopsis of this passage. Jesus is a big deal. Jesus is a big deal. This passage talks, God spoke in all of these ways in the past, but then God's final word is coming through his son, Jesus Christ. And then he just starts to describe how amazing Jesus is. He says, Jesus, first of all, had his hand in creation. Says also he created the world. Jesus is the creator. He's the maker of all things. It says that Jesus radiates with the glory of God. This means that he is brighter than the brightest sunrise that you have ever witnessed. He beams with splendor. That's how bright and amazing he is. It says that Jesus is the imprint of God. Jesus is God showing himself to us. Colossians says the same thing. He says he is the image of the invisible God. And this is who Jesus is and how God has spoken to us. Hebrews says he's the power that holds our world together. That means from the brightest star that has ever had its brightness shine to the shortest breath of the smallest mouse, Jesus is in charge of that. Holding it together by his power, by the power of his word. Jesus is a big deal. And then he makes this statement that he made purification for our sins. This is talking about what we call the gospel. The gospel is the central message to the Christian faith. The gospel is the message that Jesus, he came to reveal God, but God had already revealed himself, right? I mean, you think about it in terms of a conversation. God began the conversation. He began talking to us. God spoke. He revealed who he is to us. Kind of like when you get a phone call. God said, here's who I am. But you know what we did? We got that phone call. We began to listen to what God was saying, who God is, what he wanted. We slam the phone in God's ear. We hang up on him. We say, God, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. I want to do what I want to do. I understand that this is your way, God, but this is my way. That's what sin is. Sin is that rebellion, that pushing God away, that doing things our way. Every single one of us has done it. Every single one of us have had those moments where we've hung up on God, said, I'm not going to listen. And that there's a consequence for that, the scripture says. Consequence is it's a death. It's a death that is a death for eternity, completely and utterly separated from this God who wants to have a conversation with you. And so when the writer of Hebrews reminds us of this truth, when he says that Jesus made purification for sins, it's saying that Jesus, he paid that consequence for us. He died the death that you and I deserve to die on a cross. He died to give us forgiveness, to purify us from our sin. And he was raised to life by God the Father, by God's power, so that we can have a brand new life. Jesus is a big deal. It says he made purification for sins, and then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. His work is done. He's done it. God spoke to us through Jesus. I love how 2 Corinthians 4 puts it, verse 6. It says, for God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus did for us. Jesus has given us this knowledge of God. This connection with God, this reestablishment of this connection that was broken by paying the price for our sin. Now back to prayer. See, prayer is a conversation. It's meant to be a conversation. But the conversation, the prayer conversation, it was began by God. He started it. In a sense, God is saying, I am here. I am here. This is who I am. I want you to know me. I want you to be close to me. I want you to understand who I am. I want you to walk with me and to find your purpose with me and to have this relationship. And what Jesus did is he made that connection crystal clear. You know, in our cellular phone world, right? Ever have a bad connection with someone? Yes, maybe two people, right? Ever have this last Friday or Saturday? Dan DeVries and I were trying to call each other. He was in first service. He was the guy that was up here talking, and I think he pocket called me. He said I pocket called him, but I'm pretty sure he's wrong and I'm right. But we kept calling each other back and forth, and I was in a place where I didn't have very good reception. So I'm talking. I'm like, Dan, can you hear me? And all I can hear from his end is, I'm like, Dan, you need to pronounce your words fully, right? It was a terrible connection. We had no understanding of what was going on for like half the day, right? What Jesus did is he cleared the line. He made purification for our sins. He fixed what was broken in us, our sin, and he made it so we can continue this conversation with God. But it's a conversation that God began. God started it. God spoke to us. When we pray, we speak second. Now that said, what does it mean to pray well? How do we have a good prayer life? How do we have quality prayer life? I think because God has spoken, the quality of our conversation, the quality of how we pray, of how we talk to God, it hinges on how well we listen to Him, on how well we understand what He has spoken to us. Now, I'm going to flesh this idea out this morning. This is kind of what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day. But it's the idea that our ability to speak to Him, it's connected to our knowledge of Him. Now, this is not the kind of knowledge that says, I read the Bible, I know the facts, on a theology test, I can check all the right boxes, I have all the right information. This is a knowledge that's relational. It's understanding that from the start, God wanted to know us in relationship with Him. And so this conversation, this knowledge of God, it's when you really know Him. Now, we know what it's like to know facts, but we also know what it's like to know someone. I mean, think about this. Some of you in here are single, right? And most of you, younger people at least, you're on Facebook, okay? And none of you younger people have ever stalked someone on Facebook, right? Right, Dylan? Okay? You've never had like a friend, another friend posted on their Facebook, and you're like, oh, that person's kind of cute. And so you never clicked on their link? Oh, Dylan, you're a good man, but I think you're wrong. You know, you can do that. You can go online, you can find out all sorts of facts about people. You can learn, you know, what they do with their life, how they spend their time, what their favorite burrito place is. You can learn all the facts about them without actually knowing them, right? And so you can do that. You can Facebook stalk someone, you can go up to them and be like, hey, I know everything about you. And I love you. Will you marry me? Right? That would not go well. And that's not what we do with God. God wants us to know Him, not know about Him. He wants us to begin this process of walking with Him, of not just knowing facts, but beginning to learn His heart. This is, in essence, what Paul prays in Ephesians 1. If you were with us through December, we talked through Ephesians 1, most of it, and really kind of got a heart for what God was saying to us. But Paul, he writes this great theology and he finishes it with this beautiful prayer. And in his prayer, listen to what he says. He says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And here's what he prays. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's what Paul prays for the Ephesus church. He says, I want you to know Him. I want you to know the Heavenly Father. I want you to walk with Him, to understand what it means to be in Him. See, when we pray, we speak based on what He has spoken to us through His Word and through Jesus. That leads me to believe that the more intimately we know God, the more intimately we pray. Now, this does not mean you have to be spiritually elite to pray intimately. This does not mean that you have to be a Christian for a certain amount of years and come to church every Sunday for every all the time. This does not mean you have to go to seminary to pray well. But we pray based on what we know about God, and we grow through that. We mature through that, much in the same way we talk to each other in different ways, right? I've got an 18-month-old, I've got a 6-month-old, and I've got a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old, right? Okay? And I'm also married. Each of my family members, I talk to in very different ways because of maturity difference, right? I talk very differently when I'm correcting my 18-month-old son than when I'm correcting my 9-year-old son. It's kind of a no-brainer. The same is true for us as we grow in maturity and as we learn to pray, as we pray based on what we understand about what God has spoken in His Word, we mature and we grow in our prayer life. Now think about it. Think about an infant. An infant in this world, a baby, okay? Matt talked about this last week, right? An infant is completely dependent on everything. You know, you see young families and you see them holding their kids, like even back here, right? You're holding the baby and that baby is completely dependent on you. There's nothing they can do for themselves. Well, oftentimes when we're young in the faith, we pray like an infant, don't we? An infant, their whole world is about their needs. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, this is my next need. Maybe you pray like that. Nothing wrong with that if, as an infant, to be in the life stage where that's what you're praying for. Or maybe you've matured a little bit and you begin to pray like a child. We talk about as we grow spiritually, we enter into this child phase. And childhood is characterized not as much by needs, but by wants. Children tend to be really, really selfish. It's just their life stage. They don't know how to be anything other than that. And so instead of praying for, God, I need this, we might use the word need, but what we really say is, God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. But as we listen to God more, we listen to what He's revealed, we understand His Word more and more clearly, we grow in Him, we mature, hopefully, out of childhood into the young adult stage. And a young adult is an exciting stage because there's a lot of young adults here. A young adult no longer is saying, here's what I need or here's what I want. They begin to get a vision for God's kingdom. They start to pray, God, use me. And their prayer oftentimes as a young adult, as they start to think selflessly about how they can serve others and about how they can serve God, they start to pray like that. God, use me. Grow me. Mature me. Do great things through me. Some of us pray that prayer, right? And then if you continue to grow, that next stage is adulthood or parenthood. Being a spiritual parent means we're no longer necessarily praying, God, I want you to use me, but we've made the connection to, God, I want you to use this person. It's when you begin to see that you get to play a small part in lifting other people up and maturing other people and sending other people. That's part of what our church tries to do is as we send people over and over and over again. This is kind of how prayer can work. We pray to God oftentimes based on our maturity. I'd be curious for you to think about your prayer life right now. How do you usually pray? Do you pray as a spiritual parent or as a young adult? Do you pray, if you're honest, as a child or an infant? It's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just this reality. See, the more we mature and the more we understand God, we see that we speak second. We speak after we understand what God has spoken, and He begins to change us in that. Now, C.S. Lewis, when he talks about prayer, he says that there's a prayer that precedes every prayer. He says that his prayer that precedes every prayer is this. He says, may it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real thou I speak to. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I want to know God for real. I don't want to have a made-up picture of God in my mind. I don't want to imagine what God looks like and then pray to this God that I think it will make me happy. I want to know who God really is and then come to Him based on who I really am, where I am in my life stage, and just be real before you. See, that's the heart of prayer when we speak second. It's really knowing what God has said first. See, this relationship between your prayer and knowing God's Word, it's vital. To pray based on knowing God's Word, it changes the way you approach the Father. Just one example of this. We're going to talk more about this next week, but think about how Jesus teaches us to pray in His name. Jesus talks about praying in His name, and oftentimes, I even think about when I was a young believer, to me, that just meant, okay, Jesus will give me what I want if I pray in his name, right? So I would end my prayer for a brand new car with, in Jesus' name. And, you know, high expectation. But as you begin to know God more, you know that's actually not what he's saying. He's talking about praying in his name. Yeah, you may say those words, but it's praying in a way that's aligned with who he is, with what his name stands for, with what he's done for us, and what it means to be in him. It's praying in Jesus' name. It's just one example of the way we pray changes as we mature. Prayer is meant to be this conversation, isn't it? It's meant to be a place where we listen to God and we speak to him according to what he said. I have one friend who I have lunch with every other month or so, and he is a talker, right? And it's not even Billy, okay? We sit down and we talk, and he will, like, for the first 30 minutes to 45 minutes, he will just, like, and it's actually quite enjoyable. I'm great friends with him. I love him. I love his stories and all that. He just goes and goes and goes and goes. But without fail, he stops somewhere in the conversation. He looks me right in the eyes. He says, "Mike, here I go again. I'm doing all the talking. I really want to know how you're doing. What's going on in your life?" See, he wants it to be a conversation. He wants it to be a relationship. He cares about me, and he wants to hear from me, and he knows that I care about him, and I want to hear from him. That's what prayer is meant to be. One guy calls it prayer. Prayer is our voice of faith. See, when you understand what God has said, and you go to him in prayer, there's a way where we get to affirm, "This is what I believe about you, God. This is what I believe about who you are and what you've done for me." And so when we express that in prayer, in a lot of ways what we're doing is we're voicing our faith. We're aligning ourselves with God. It's meant to be this response to who he is and what he has done. I want you to think about your prayer life for the next few minutes. And I want to do it just to remind you how simply it's meant to be. Are you someone who has a tendency to say what I said at the beginning? I'm not very good at prayer. Not just in the sense of praying in a small group when someone says, "Hey, will you pray for so and so?" But your daily life. Do you find yourself regularly praying? Do you find that you get caught into a prayer life where you feel like it's boring because you're saying the same thing over and over again? You're praying about whatever maybe is urgent, but you don't really know what else to pray beyond that. Over these next few weeks, we're gonna hopefully learn some ways to approach the Lord, the ways to really not only to speak to him, but to hear from him. And the idea, the heart, is that each of us would grow in prayer. But through all of this, let's remember how simple this is meant to be. You might have heard of Mother Teresa. She served in Calcutta. She had one of the most difficult ministries that maybe you could ever imagine. She helped people die. People who were discarded, people who were diseased, people who no one would care for. She wanted them to die with a pillow under their head and a bowl of rice in their stomach. She cared for the dying. If anyone developed a prayer habit, I imagine she did. And when she talks about prayer, she doesn't say the most profound thing ever. She says what is maybe the most simple thing, which might make it the most profound thing for us today. She says this. She says, "Prayer is simply talking to God. He speaks, we listen. We speak, he listens. A two-way process, speaking and listening." As you think about this prayer process for you, I wonder, what do you put first? When you pray, is it you speaking first? Is it you going over your needs or your wants, or even how you want God to use you or God to use other people? Or when you approach God in prayer, do you approach him with your ears open, hearing from him? Not hearing from him in a mystical sense where all of a sudden you're going to have an amazing thought, but hearing from him based on what he's already spoken in his word. Hearing from him as he is showing you who he is and what it looks like to walk with him. You know, on your connection card, there are some ideas for next steps, but I want to end with asking you to consider doing two things this week. Two things that I want you to ask you to do. The first is, this is the brand new year. Many of us begin a Bible reading plan of the new year. And a lot of us, we've had this experience where we say, I'm going to read through the entire Bible this year, right? And then we get to January and we're like, I'm going to read through one book of the Bible this year, right? Like we tend to not always keep up with that. I want to ask you to consider reading part of the Bible this year, coming up with a plan. Now, I think a plan is really important, not just to read it, like open it up and read whatever, but having a plan. And if you are someone who tends to come up with a plan or commit to a plan and not follow through, I just want you to write on your connection card somewhere, write Bible reading on there. Because what will happen is one of the leaders at Lifeway, we would love to just connect with you, help you figure out with your life, with your time, what is a plan that you can achieve so that you can regularly hear from God. Remember, prayer is speaking second. Our desire this morning is that you would hear from Him. Let Him speak first. The second thing I want to ask every person to consider this morning is we have discipleship groups and neighborhood groups, groups that meet throughout the weeks, men's groups, women's groups, all of those. This week, in our groups, we're just going to spend some time catching up. A lot of the groups took a break during the winter, but the next 2 weeks after that, we're going to walk through a process of praying the Scripture. We're going to teach you how to pray based on what God has already spoken. I want to ask you, especially if you're not part of a group, will you consider being part of one, just for 2 weeks? Give it a short try. Learn a little bit about prayer. Learn how to approach God based on what He's already said. I think this might be one of the most meaningful things you could do all year long in your relationship with the Father. Now that said, what do you say we pray? Heavenly Father, God, I pray for this church. I just ask that as we start this new year with our focus on prayer, that you would honor it, that you would create just a greater awareness of our dependence on you. You'd create a greater desire in us to pray. God, I pray that we would have a passion to go before you in all things in prayer. God, I pray that our prayer would become more and more in line with your heart. I pray that we would see that we pray, we speak to you because of what you have already spoken to us. And God, in it, I pray that you become honored through all of it. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.